Well, what about when World War II came? What was it like then? I'm trying to think in my mind who was what age. Mom would have been about 6.
Yeah.
So Frances 8 and Dorothy 10 and on up.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it wasn't hard times with us in World War II. Because I tell you, Brenda, the government, after the president, the Democrat president got in.
Roosevelt.
I can't think of his name half the time. But anyhow, he provided for us that, according to our family, the families, so many tins, and we'd go once a week up to the commissary and Jim would load up a wheelbarrow of wood to carry up there and then come back and get my stuff that I was going to can and carry it up there, and then he'd stay with the children and I'd go, and we'd fill our cans and have our washing pot boiling and they had an automatic to see them, you see, and we'd put them in there and boil them 3 hours. Beans, and if it's tomatoes, we didn't boil them, but beans and peas and things like that, boil them 3 hours. And then when they'd cool down, why, he'd come and get me in their stuff, carry it back. And I canned out of our garden that year, the first year. Besides, I was allowed 300 tin cans, and I filled every one of them. And then, in between canning time at the commissary, I filled 100 and some odd cans at home of glass cans, you know, and dried peas. We had peas in the garden, and we didn't. Canned the green peas, we'd let them dry, and we shelled them out. And I said, well, if something don't happen to what I've got, my children won't be hungry.
Because you knew you had enough then to get you through them. That must have been a good feeling.
Honey, you talk about being happy. I was happy over that. Well, from then on, what I raised in the garden from that first year, what we raised in the garden, and we had a big garden. I tended it home in the last year. And then I told you, we had the cow. And we just thought we was in hot hill. And we raised us a hog, too, that year. And dressed it ourselves.
Well, did Mom and the rest of them really stay home when it was hard killing things? Or did Mom just want to?
Well, she didn't want to. Yeah, she didn't want to. Oh, my goodness. And I dreaded hard killing time because
it's
such a
mess.
But still really proud of it.
Well, would y'all hire somebody to come do it, or did you do it yourself?
Well, the last hog that we killed, Jim hired somebody to come kill him because that was the day he had to work. But most of the time, he would stay off that day and hire somebody to help him. Or just swap time with somebody. That's the way it was. And so from then on, he said, well, I know I've got to stay on the job because he was the overseer on that place. He had to be on the job, and we quit raising our own hog.
Were you glad?
Yes. In a way I was, but in a way I'm not that good old me.
Yeah, that's true. Well, what about the church, Red Hill Methodist Church, what night there when y'all went out there? When y'all moved out there? Was the church there yet?
Oh, yeah. The Mexican church has been there all of my life. That's where I joined the church.
At Red Hill?
No, not Red Hill. I moved my letter to Red Hill from the Sneed Church. I was 10 years old when I joined. And then after we moved to Finally, I moved.
How big was the church when y'all moved out of it? Small?
Yeah, it was just a small, the Sunday school classes had to be in different sections in the auditorium. Then we got the building. Jim put in $500 on the Sunday school building for me and him. And then at one time, and then the next time he put in $500 more.
Wow.
And we got our Sunday school rooms.
Well, you and Granddaddy were both real active in the church. You both sang in the choir.
And he was lay leader, you know. And if the preacher couldn't be there, he had to do the speaking and so on. And we was in the choir for years and years.
Yeah.
When I had my arm broke, we had to put on our robes, you know. He'd help me put on my robes and so he did. And we stayed in the choir for years and years.
And all of your kids grew up in that church.
Yeah.
And most of your grandkids at some time have been out there, too.
Yeah. And you know, Steve, we carried him out there to church for years and years. He left it.
And all the people are basically the same ones that were out there when I was growing up.
Yeah.
The Smith. Of course, some of them are dead.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of them died since I moved from over there. And... well, it was a really a good, lively church. At that time, I say it's not now. The preacher visits me now and then. But anyway, I still love her.
And you did your share of feeding preachers, too, on Sundays, didn't you?
Yeah.
And any kids your kids happen to bring home from church?
Yeah.
I wonder what's the most you've ever fed on a Sunday at lunch?
Let me see. Dorothy would bring one home with her, and Frances bring one home with her, or two.
And
sometimes it'd be two with Frances, two with Dorothy. And when I know they was going to bring somebody home, I wouldn't go to church. I mean, I'd cook some before I'd go, and then after the choir was over, well, I'd come on home and finish up dinner. And honey, that big old table was just full of what food we had. And everybody, I've got a neighbor out there now that I talked to once in a while, and she said, I never could make ice potato dumplings like you, and they was the best things ever was when I'd eat at your house.
I can remember all that, but there's been a lot of food eating around that table.
Sure. Oh, man, I'll tell you right now. But we was having good times then.
Shell and butter beans. Steve running away from your house, going to go back to Mississippi.
You and me was a shell. We had a tub bag full of butter beans sitting in the swing, shelling them. And then pouring them in a dish pan down here on the floor. Steve was in them little training pans, you know. And he is sitting down on the floor just going around and around in them butter beans and knocking about on the floor. And I said, Steve, if you don't stop that, I'm going to go get me a hickory. Well, he didn't stop it, and I went and got me one. Laid it up here on this arm while I was shelling. And he raised up one time, and Hector just touched his back. Oh, he flew off the handle, says, I'm going home. And down them steps he went, down them steps to the road he went. And he was sitting down there. I couldn't hear or see him, but I know he was down there. And I waited on him a few minutes. I said, Steve, I'm going to count to three. If I don't see that white head at the top of these steps, I'm coming down there with this hickory, and I'm going to whoop you back up here. Well, by the time I counted three, that white head popped up at the top of the steps. Oh,
I wonder how many Well, I know you have 19 grandchildren. And Steve and I used to spend summers at your home.
Mm-hmm.
I know that every grandchild spent at least one night there. I wonder how many kids have been in the home. You've got 30 great-grandchildren, I think.
31.
And one great-great-grandchild?
Yeah.
And I know all the grandchildren and most of the great-grandchildren spent the night.
Yeah. And when they would bring Steve over there, school is out, and then come get you to start you back to school, me and the granddaddy would be so lonesome. But Wayne would might near always be there.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd be so lonesome for you and Steve till we just couldn't hardly stand it. And finally we just quit talking about it, you know, and just sat with our heads down. And of course we got used to you being gone, but
mm-hmm.
it was hard. But anyhow, Brenda, we had good times.
We did have good times. Yeah. Christmases, mm-hmm. I can remember everybody singing.
Yep, singing James with his guitar, mm-hmm. you know, and get a bunch of you little ones around him, and I'd just tickle him to death. And one night, he wouldn't eat anything that night after he got there, and I was afraid he was sick, and I know he had but he got a bunch of kids around him and played the guitar and sang little old songs, you know, Christmas songs and all. And next morning, and that Christmas now, I give everybody a can of vegetable soup
mm-hmm.
for their
mm-hmm.
Christmas. And the next morning, he called me and he said, "Mama, you can come down here," said Betty, "come get you." Said, "I'm in the bed," said, after I got home with my vegetable soup, me and Clark Lewis opened that and I put hot sausage in it and said, "I am just dying with my stomach." And he is in bed all day long that day. And Betty come and got me and I stayed
there. Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't let me come in the room and see him because he's the one. But anyway, Brenda, I've put too much of foolishness.
Oh, you have not. 1920, women got the right to vote. He would have been 14 years old, so it wouldn't have. Do you remember hearing anything about it? Or how did y'all get news? Did you subscribe to the newspaper or radio or what?
We got it over the radio, you know. But you had to be 42, I believe, or 32,
mm-hmm.
or 42 before you could register.